The True False podcast is made possible with the support of the University of Missouri and the Donald W. Reynolds Journalism Institute.
Welcome to the True False Film Festival.
Welcome to the True False podcast, presented by KBIA. I'm Allison Kofeld. Today, we're previewing this year's films with two True False programmers, Chris Bachman and Abby Sun. Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for coming. With True False right around the corner, we've got this amazing lineup of films, and it can be challenging to navigate the list and figure out what films you're most interested in seeing. So we're really glad that Chris and Abby could sit down with us today and give us the inside scoop. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I want to start by talking about feature films. What are you guys excited about for this year's festival?
One title that pops out to me is a film called America, which is a first-time feature from two directors who are actually not new to the festival, Chase Whiteside and Eric Stoll.
Oh, yeah. What have they had here in the past?
So they co-directed a short that screened here, I believe, in 2011, 16. Actually, called Lifelike, which screened before a film called At the Edge of Russia. And that was a film about a taxidermist. They've been actually attending, though, even longer as students of Julia Reichert and Stephen Bogner
at Wright State.
Yeah, Wright State University. So they've been coming here and kind of growing up watching the movies that we've played at True False for a while. And I think they've had an influence on the way they've approached documentary. But this feature is something they've kind of been working under the radar on for quite a while. It's a movie that they shot. They started by going down to Puerto Vallarta in Mexico because they were interested in the tourist industry that exists there. And they met this kid named Diego, and who is working. He's like a young kid who is kind of working a variety of different sort of jobs in that industry. And they started following him. And one day he received a phone call that his father was actually being jailed for abuse of his grandmother, or elder abuse. So he had to sort of suddenly drop all of his jobs and move back to Colima with his older brother to take care of his grandmother and to help free his father.
And her name
is America. It might look like it's America when you see the name, but it has an accent mark over it. That's her name, actually.
Is the part of True False where we all speak Spanish.
I apologize if I'm butchering that. This is just a very kind of sweet and actually funny movie at times. I know it sounds sort of depressing when I lay out the synopsis like that, but it's a movie that has a good sense of humor to it, and there are a few twists along the way as well. It's also just like one of the most kind of like tender observational documentaries we've seen in a while. You really find yourself falling in love with every single person that the camera latches onto, and get a good sense of the family dynamics as they're navigated over the course of the film.
Abby, what are you excited about?
So there's a film called Shirkers. This film played at Sundance just last month, and it's directed by a director who's originally from Singapore, but she now lives in the U.S., where she is a writer and a film critic. Her name is Sandy Tan. And when she was 19 in Singapore with some friends, she made what was one of the very first independent movies in Singapore. But they made this film under the guidance of a mysterious mentor whose name is George Cardona. And after they finished shooting the film, their mentor, George, left and just kind of absconded with all of the films. So they lost this for decades. And in this film, Sandy not only shares with us basically her childhood growing up in Singapore and how she was sort of a rebel and a punk girl who drew zines and things like that, but also what happened to her mentor and what happened to the film afterwards. It's not only a great deal of fun, but it, I think, is a film that young people and old people will be able to enjoy a lot.
Yeah, and that's Shirkers, and there's a lot. There's a lot about remembrance there that's really interesting to think about. Yeah, so what are some films that that we can't miss this year? What do people need to know? Can't miss films, you guys.
Oh, no. Okay, so we do have some other films that we're excited about.
Other ones you're excited about? All right, let's hear them.
Can we name drop them first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
You can even do a little more than name drop. Maybe a couple sentence summary.
A couple sentence. Okay.
Pressure's on.
One movie I want to mention that's actually starting its life here at True False is a film called Black Mother, which is from a director named Kalik Allah. Kalik actually had his first debut film, Field N-Word, which screened here at the festival a few years back, which is a film that was a result of him spending a lot of time at 125th in Lexington in Harlem doing street portraiture. This time he's going to the country that his mother came from, Jamaica, which is where he spent a decent amount of his life kind of growing up visiting. And he's reconnecting with his grandfather while he's there and learning a lot more about the sort of country and covering lots of sort of different topics.
Had he been there before?
He certainly, he spent time there before this, but he's looking at sort of a pretty wide array of topics from the country's history of fighting for its freedom very early on, all the way to, you know, its relationship with the Christian church, and the currency of what it's like to be a sex worker in the country. And there are a lot of different things that are covered over the course of this movie, which is actually structured
trimester.
Yeah, inspired by a woman that he's following as she's a pregnant woman on her way to birth. So that is sort of the film's structural technique. But
and so in Motherland is, you know, his mother's land.
Yeah,
and
it's
also
his maternal
grandfather.
Motherland.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it is a film also interested in the strong, like, women that exist in this country and an ode to them. But it's very much feels like kind of an extension in some ways of what he was doing in his last film, in that it has a lot of just really striking kind of indelible street portraiture throughout it. But I also think it's a little bit more ambitious in some sort of ways, too. So we're really excited to be screening that film for the first time.
Nice.
And then there are two films that I'm very excited about. They're also screening in the festival world for the first time at True False. The first one is called Combat Obscura, which was actually submitted to us. So this was a film that someone that we had no connection to before, they submitted, like paid money, like submitted through the website. First time filmmaker, he is still in college. And this film is called, it's called Combat Obscura, and it's directed by a man named Miles Lugosi. And so I say that he's still in college. He's actually not a traditional college student because he spent 4 years in the Marine Corps as a combat cameraman. And so these are journalists who are embedded within the Marine Corps. Each one is assigned to a unit. And Miles himself was deployed to Afghanistan multiple times, where he filmed for the Marine Corps the daily lives of the Marines in Afghanistan in the unit that he was embedded with. And in this film, he just shows us, he uses the footage that he shot for the Marine Corps in a way that I think provides a completely different perspective on his experience there. And so he uses his footage as well as footage from other combat cameramen that he gathers. And the whole experience is completely immersive. It's very sensorial and it's quite disturbing. And for me, this was a very striking new voice. It's very rare for us to find something like this.
Cool. Okay. All right. And then you said there was one other one.
Yes. So the other film that I'm excited about is, this is also a slightly left of center, perhaps, choice, but it is a film called The Task. And this film comes to us from Chicago, so it's not too far from us, but its premise is completely unique. We are dropped in the middle of a conference which brings together a group of strangers who are trying to examine their own group dynamic. And this sounds really meta and a little bit strange, but things get heated really quick. People start accusing each other of being racist, of being sexist, misogynistic, but they also accuse each other of...
So it sounds like the internet.
Yeah, sounds like the internet, but they also accuse each other of not listening to each other, of talking over each other, just all of these things that in polite company we're not supposed to mention, but the purpose of this conference is to mention it and discuss it with each other. And then slowly throughout this film, we realize that not all of the strangers are on the same playing field. Some of them are actually employees of the conference, and they are essentially planted to stir up debate. It's a completely unique film. It's edited with great, great attention to gestures and to what people speak. When Chris and I watched it, we howled with laughter at parts. We also, like, were completely rapt. We also were completely disgusted at parts. This is a film that will inspire a lot of emotion.
Okay, The Task.
The Task.
Okay, okay. The name leaves a lot of questions. All right, so let's do lightning round. Can't miss. Lightning round. Here we go. What can't you miss this year?
Abby mentioned a title earlier that we're going to be starting the festival rounds up with a movie called Camera Obscura, and she mentioned that it had a very distinct look at war. I was going to mention
Combat Obscura.
Combat. Wow, thank
Which
you.
Which is a play on Camera Obscura. Apologies.
You're
for...
supposed to make that mistake.
Yes. You can edit these things, can't you? anyway, I was going to mention another title, actually, that also offers an extremely distinct look at war, which is a movie called Of Fathers and Sons, which actually won the grand jury prize at Sundance a few weeks back. Of Fathers and Sons is a film from a Syrian director named Talal Durki, who now is based in Europe in Berlin. But he traveled back to the northern part of his country and embedded with a family of fighters for al-Nusra, whose politics are very much aligned with al-Qaeda. This is, you know, it's intimate observational filmmaking where you find yourself caring very deeply about this family, even though they were view the people who are watching the film in the United States as enemies in many ways. So the country itself, for sure. So it's a really harrowing movie that contains images that I have never seen in my life. So
when I watched it in a theater, when I watched it in a theater, my mouth was open for half of the time. It was just incredible images. There's another Sundance title that we think is a can't miss, and it also addresses a slightly, I think, hot button issue these days. This film is called Bisbee 17 and is actually directed by a filmmaker who is based in Columbia, Missouri. His name is Robert Greene, and this is actually his
hometown.
Fifth film at True Falls.
Right. Yeah, so the film is very much in sort of the spirit of Robert's past few films, and that he is going to a place and sort of instigating some sort of behavior, which he then documents. This time he goes to Bisbee, Arizona, which is a copper mining town.
Former copper
mining town, I should say, yes. And he's looking at a historical event that happened 100 summers prior to when he was filming this movie. So in 1917, there were a number of different immigrant workers who were rallying together to form a union, and the owners of the mines were not happy with that, so they rounded them up and shipped them all the way out into the middle of nowhere, just stranding them completely and kicking them out of the town. Bisbee itself has never really properly reconciled with this in any sort of way. Over the 100 years, it's just become a topic that you don't talk about. And so with this film, Robert is attempting to spur some sort of conversations. There are a lot of different sort of techniques that he uses throughout this film. There are artists who are doing sort of installations to acknowledge what's happened. And Robert himself is doing reenactments with people who are actually related to people who were involved in the deportation. I think it's the sort of movie where at the very end, it's as it kind of zooms out and looks at this town, it like leaves you thinking about your own city and its own past. And it hasn't in Columbia, for instance, that we have ourselves not reckoned with, I think, in a lot of ways. So I think it's going to resonate in all sorts of parts of this country and the world. So we're really excited to bring that here.
Yes. The film is beautifully shot, and it's also a documentary musical.
Wow. Mm. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
The reenactments involve singing.
A new frontier.
If you like Sound of Music, this is the one for you.
You heard
Please ignore
here.
That.
Come on, Mom.
When we get back, we're going to talk about short films and the True Vision Award.
Not only is he our youngest True Vision recipient, but he's actually the first director from the Congo that we have invited.
Hey listeners, it's Allison, letting you know that this episode of the True False podcast is brought to you by the University of Missouri. That's also where we produce this show, here at the KBIA studios at the University of Missouri School of Journalism, which is famous for the Missouri Method. So we've got Catherine Wheeler here in the studio. Catherine's a graduate student at the University of Missouri School of Journalism, and she is a producer on our podcast for True False. Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
I was hoping you could tell us what you mean, or we say, Missouri Method.
Well, with the J School, we're kind of getting thrown into the deep end right away. I don't know any other place where on my first day of class, I was writing feature stories for the local newspaper, and I'm working at the local NPR affiliate doing stories. There are just so many options to really get professional experience even before we go out into our professional careers.
Yeah, the experience stuff is really what stands out, I think.
Yeah.
The True False podcast is made possible by the University of Missouri. This episode of the True False podcast is brought to you by the Donald W. Reynolds Journalism Institute. Here to tell us more is current RJI fellow Chris Gass. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So what's your elevator pitch for your project?
Sure. If you're a small and medium-sized news organization, if you're a local paper or radio station, getting on board with modern mobile news app systems is expensive and probably not really an option for you. So this is something that lets you basically take a pre-made system, modify it to your needs. In a couple days, you can have a completely native iOS and Android apps for all your readers.
Oh, yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper than the $50K that it usually costs. So.
Yeah, and this would be free, open source.
Completely free. Anybody can take it. Anybody can download it. Maybe change a couple config files. You might have to hire a developer for like 2 or 3 days. That's what RJ is letting me work on.
Chris, again, he is a current Reynolds Journalism Institute fellow. We're really excited that you are sponsoring our podcast, taking a long look at the work of filmmakers, not unlike journalists who get to settle in with their work here at the RJI Fellowships. And the True False podcast is, of course, as I just said, sponsored by the Reynolds Journalism Institute. You can find out more at rjionline.org. That's rjionline.org. Welcome back to the True False podcast, presented by KBIA. I'm Allison Kofeld. Let's get back to our conversation with Chris Bachman and Abby Sun. Hello again.
Hello.
Hello.
Here we are. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the shorts films. Shorts are something that I think are really fun and one of my favorite parts of the fest. So if you're thinking about putting shorts on your list, don't wear pants. No, I'm just sorry. That's terrible. okay. Talk about shorts, Chris. You're sort of the overseer on shorts programs.
But we're really enthusiastic to be actually celebrating Kamau Bilal, who's a Columbia native, actually, who is just
Hickman grad.
Just like Abby.
Go Cupy.
Tension in the room right now. But Kamau actually premiered this movie that I'm about to talk about, Baby Brother, at Sundance a few weeks back, which is a really big deal, of course. But yeah. we're happy to be bringing it back to the town that it was actually photographed in. It's a movie about his own brother who is moving back in with his parents and sort of getting his life back together. It's a very like charming kind of portrait of him during this like, you know, transition period of his life. It has a really good sense of humor, and Kamau is like one of I'll go ahead and say I think Kamau is maybe the best editor in Columbia, or one of them at the very least.
Robert Greene would probably dispute that statement.
Yeah.
You're baiting him. We'll see if he listens to the podcast.
Trying to start a feud there.
But Kamau currently teaches at the University of Missouri, so not only is he from Columbia, but he now lives and raises his family here. So we're really excited to be promoting his film. I mean, not promoting. We don't promote anything. I am right now. But the film is a wonderful slice of life, and you'll be able to recognize many different sites in Columbia in the film.
Okay, and that's showing in front of?
It's showing in front of a film that is called Lovers of the Night, which sounds a little bit salacious, but it's actually about a very sedate topic. The film follows 7 monks in Ireland as they try to save their monastery because, as you can imagine, everyone who wants to be a monk is not a young person. and so they are having trouble recruiting more people to be monks in Ireland. And the filmmaker, Anna Frances Ewart, hangs out essentially with these 7 monks and listens to them, their worries, what they do in their free time, and just it's so warm-hearted. And the reason why we put Kamau's film, Baby Brother, in front of Lovers of the Night is because they both had this warmth that just suffuses everything.
Mm. Yeah, I love thinking about the order of shorts. And I know, obviously, Lovers of the Night is not a short, but I love thinking about how you pair films. It's kind of like thinking about a really great mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're doing shorts a little, we're doing shorts a little differently this year at the Fest, is that right?
Yes. So, of course, so the fact that Kamau's film, Baby Brother, is before Lovers of the Night is actually quite unique at True Falls this year. The vast mm-hmm. majority of our films are in shorts programs, and we're doing something new with shorts programs this year.
Can you talk about that, Chris?
Yeah, if you've been to the festival in the past, you might have noticed that we tended to screen shorts programs around four different times over the course of the festival. And the shorts programs themselves are things we were very happy with. They contained movies that we loved, and we liked the ways that we presented them. But a problem that we and lots of other festivals have faced is that the Q&As that follow those screenings tend to be kind of doomed, in the sense that we don't leave a lot of time for Q&As. We leave around 20 minutes. And sometimes you have a situation where you have five different directors standing up 20 minutes.
That has happened to me.
And it's just a struggle to get any sort of good conversation going. So we were inspired by a few other festivals around the world and how they decided to present short films. Andrea Picard at the Toronto Film Festival has a experimental shorts programs called Wavelengths. And that happens this sort of format where it only screens once. And it's a real event when it happens.
The short only screens.
The shorts, each shorts program. Okay. So there's Wavelengths 1, Wavelengths 2, Wavelengths 3. And every single time that happens, it feels like it's like there's a real energy to the room because it is your only opportunity to see it. And so we liked that vibe that she had created and the sort of excitement that we created around shorts programs. So that was one thing that inspired us. The second thing that inspired us is the Locarno Film Festival in Switzerland does this sort of thing where they take the conversation and they place it in a different space than the actual where the screenings happen. So we took those two ideas and sort of merged them. So we're having one major screening for each shorts program in our lineup this year that'll be happening at the Rheinsberger Cinema here at the University of Missouri campus. And after that screening, the directors and the audience who are interested in participating in a conversation will cross the hall to the gallery,
the Bingham Gallery,
and where there will be a free beverage and an opportunity to talk to all of the filmmakers mm-hmm. for a more extended period of time.
So no stage Q&A.
No stage Q&A. So none of those awkward people just kind of standing around twiddling their thumbs upstage waiting for their question to come their way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, well, there'll be like if you've see the list of films right now, you'll see that they all have different drink names. There's a red wine, there's a coffee, and a kombucha even. And so those are all actually the names of the beverages that will be served during their receptions.
That sounds fun. Well, I'm excited to see how it goes.
We are too. It's an experiment for sure, as there are many different things.
It's an experiment. And I will say that each shorts program is not just screening once. We are not doing a completely Toronto Wavelengths style where you only get one chance, because we understand that people's True False schedules become very packed. So we actually are giving everyone two chances to watch each shorts program. However, the reception only happens once after the first screening.
Okay.
So that should be the hot ticket screening. So just to so everyone is aware, there are no free beverages after the second screening.
Yeah, you'll have to buy your own kombucha.
You'll have to buy your own kombucha.
I'm sure somebody's like setting up an artisan kombucha stand in some courtyard of a venue.
Also,
right
just
now.
To be clear, the four drinks available after the screenings, in case you do want to make your program selection based on what drink will be available.
I mean, that's how I obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the drinks are beer, red wine, kombucha, and coffee.
Okay. Okay. Let the record stand. Okay. Let's talk for a second about the True Vision Award. So for those of you who aren't familiar, the True Vision Award is, we don't really do awards at True False in the way a lot of film festivals do awards. And we do honor two films. We honor the True Life Fund film, and we will have an episode later in the season about the True Life Fund film. And we honor the True Vision Award. And so Chris and Abby, can you talk a little bit about just kind of what that award means? And then also, you know, like talk about our True Vision recipient this year.
So the award is something that we created to celebrate a filmmaker who is mid-career. So someone who still has a lot of work to come, but someone who's also innovated in some sort of ways and has pushed forward documentary filmmaking. And so this year we're giving it to a director who's from the Democratic Republic of Congo, whose name is Diodo Amadi. And this is actually a filmmaker that is I'm tempted, someone should fact check me on this, but I believe he is our youngest recipient yet. I was kind of startled when I received...
You would fact check you on that. You're the person that fact checks.
When we sent the invitation, we received a response informing us that he was only 33 years old.
Got the sense that his producer thought he was maybe too young to receive an award, but we're going ahead with it anyway.
He's been prolific. That speaks to like how much he's been producing. Yeah. I think it kind of took me aback because I remember encountering his work when I was just starting out working at the festival as a teenager. So the fact that he's, you know, already this far into his career is kind of incredible. But
not only is he our youngest TrueVision recipient, but he's actually the first director from the Congo that we have invited to screen a film at TrueFalse. So he's actually hitting multiple firsts. And another first.
Oh, well, what's the name of the film that he'll be screening?
Oh, yes.
So his new film that will be screened is called Kinshasa Makambo, which is a film that he's been working on for several years now, and it's following these brave young activists as they fight for free elections in their country.
Okay.
And it'll be premiering actually at the Berlin Film Festival, which is just a few weeks before TrueFalse.
Yeah.
So this will be its first North American screening.
Okay. And then Abby, you were going to say the other first.
The other first is due to political reasons and due to the political instability in the Congo right now, Diodo Amadi will not actually be able to join us in person at TrueFalse. So all of the previous TrueVision recipients have been here in person in order to receive their award. And we also, because they are here in person, we screen a previous film of theirs. So we are doing that for Diodo. His previous film that we are screening is called National Exam. And it is about a group of young people in the Democratic Republic of Congo who are struggling to study for their graduate exam so that they can take the entrance exam to go to college.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing those. Okay, well, I want to thank you both for coming in. It's a really busy season for you. And thanks for spending the time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's great to get these explainers on the films and to hear your thoughts and to hear a little bit more about what goes on behind the scenes. That's it for this week's TrueFalse podcast. Thanks very much again to my guests Abby Sun and Chris Bachman, programmers with TrueFalse. You can listen to more episodes with TrueFalse filmmakers at kbia.org, on iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And next week, join us again as we discuss a different aspect of the art and craft of nonfiction storytelling. This episode was produced by Hannah Haynes and edited by Bram Sablesmith and Ryan Vermeulener. Our introduction was created by Tim Pilcher using sounds of the TrueFalse Film Fest. I'm Allison Kofeld. Thanks for listening.